This is VOA News. I'm Tommy Levine.
There are now more than 200,000 confirmed coronavirus cases worldwide, and President Trump is taking extraordinary steps to fight the American outbreak. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani.
Among other things, the president's invoking an act giving him broad authorities to push private companies toward developing essential goods during a national crisis, in this case, masks and ventilators. At the same time, Congress has approved one financial aid package and is working on another massive one that could hit $1 trillion. As the markets took another beating, the president's dismissing his own Treasury chief's talk that domestic unemployment could hit 20%.
No, I don't agree. That's an absolute, total worst-case scenario.
Defiantly promising the U.S. will win what he calls a war against an invisible enemy. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Britain announced Wednesday it would close schools in the coming days and place 20,000 troops on standby in efforts to stem the spread of the coronavirus as the death toll topped 100. Prime Minister Boris Johnson had held off following the lead of other European countries because of the impact it would have on the workforce. He emphasized the country needs schools to make provisions for the children of key workers who would be otherwise forced to stay home, and that they will also need to look after the most vulnerable children.
This will mean that there will, of course, be far fewer children in the schools, and that will help us to slow the spread of the disease. And these measures are crucial to make sure that the, as I say, the critical parts of the economy keep functioning and public services keep functioning.
The Prime Minister also said the government will bring forward measures to protect private renters from eviction, and the government should do whatever it takes to support the workers throughout the coronavirus crisis. This is VOA News. World Health Organization urges governments to implement a comprehensive, aggressive approach in tackling COVID-19. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA.
The World Health Organization says it is difficult to nail down any one factor or particular scenario behind the surge of cases in Europe. WHO spokesman Christian Lindemeyer tells VOA his agency has been warning for weeks that this novel virus would grab hold and continue spreading with relentless speed around the world. Lindemeyer explains many countries were unprepared to test, treat, and track those infected when the virus struck. He says many still lack the capacity to implement these important measures. He says the lack of medical equipment, tests, personnel, hospital beds, ventilators, and other essential items is a global problem. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Fox News Channel host Tucker Carlson says that he felt he had a moral obligation to meet with President Trump about the seriousness of the new coronavirus. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn.
Tucker Carlson says he went to the president's Mar-a-Lago resort earlier this month to issue a blunt warning about the pandemic, which wasn't getting the attention and urgency he felt it deserved. Carlson tells Vanity Fair he started sounding the alarm on his show in late January and by March said, "People you know will get sick. Some may die." It was his wife who convinced him to speak directly to President Trump, who has changed his tone in recent days and stopped downplaying the spreading virus. Carlson has blasted lawmakers on both sides for minimizing what is clearly a very serious problem and not helping Americans take it seriously. I'm Jackie Quinn.
First Lady Melania Trump and top infectious disease specialist Anthony Fauci will take part in public service messages aimed at informing Americans about the coronavirus. The White House says Wednesday that it's joining with major media companies, digital platforms, and the Ad Council to share accurate and timely information directly related to the American people. The public service campaign will direct people to coronavirus.gov, which includes centralized, updated information on the crisis. Two cruise ships that were turned away by other ports are headed to Honolulu. Officials say there are no positive cases of coronavirus on either vessel. Holland America Lines is scheduled to arrive Friday. The Norwegian Jewel is scheduled to arrive Sunday. Find more at voanews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Thursday, March 19th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta warns traders against making super profits amid the coronavirus crisis.
This country has ever had a problem with somebody making profit. But indeed, it is highly immoral if we take advantage of an unfortunate situation to make super profit.
Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni announces measures to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Liberian health authorities say tests on 4 of 5 primary contacts of the country's first coronavirus patient have come out negative. VOA Director Amanda Bennett sends a message about VOA's work and the coronavirus. And Guinea's opposition vows to disrupt Sunday's controversial constitutional referendum.
The opposition won't participate in those elections. Instead, the opposition will make sure those elections don't happen.
Fayami Limuno is a member of the National Front for the Defense of the Constitution in Guinea. But the Guinean government says the opposition wants to read a book that is not yet opened. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Banks will provide relief to borrowers on personal loans based on individual circumstances arising from the coronavirus pandemic. As Marie Ojiambo reports from Nairobi, President Uhuru Kenyatta has also warned traders against making super profits amid the coronavirus crisis.
The Central Bank of Kenya has asked banks to waive all charges for balance inquiries and also bear the cost of any restructuring during this time. According to the Central Bank, Governor Patrick Njoroge, the move is to help Kenyans who are experiencing cash crunch during the lockdown. Mr. Njoroge says the measures are aimed at reducing the need for actual cash transaction that has been banned for a while in the country.
Charges on transfers from banks to the mobile wallet and vice versa, all those have been eliminated. The banks will seek to provide relief to borrowers, personal loans, based on their individual circumstances arising from the pandemic.
All cash from the banks will be quarantined for at least 7 days, giving time for the virus to become inactive before the currency is released to Kenyans. Governor Njoroge says the time interval adopted is enough for the virus to become inactive and hence safeguarding Kenyans at this time of danger.
To make sure that we don't have the virus being transmitted via cash, all cash that will be coming out of banks will be quarantined for at least 1 week. So that is more than enough time for the virus to become inactive.
President Uhuru Kenyatta has cautioned traders in the country against raising prices of basic commodities in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak. Mr. Kenyatta commended the banking sector for coming up with a raft of measures and urged the business community to emulate the spirit.
This is not the time to take undue advantage on our people, to our traders, our supermarket owners. Do your business. Do it right. Do it justly. Nobody in this country has ever had a problem with somebody making profit. But indeed, it is highly immoral if we take advantage of an unfortunate situation to make super profit.
The government continues to dialogue with all stakeholders to address challenges being faced by citizens as the country battles the outbreak. Yesterday, Wednesday, Kenya recorded 3 more cases, bringing the coronavirus patient number to 7. However, Kenyan traders importing goods from affected countries have reported slow movement. Eunice Mukolwe, an entrepreneur in Kenya, narrates the difficulties she's facing in her business.
For the baby shop, most of our supplies come from Turkey, Thailand, and China. For China, this year we've not been able to get most of the items because of the coronavirus. Imports from Turkey have been coming in well. We've not had a problem except recently when we've gotten messages from our suppliers that the cargo companies are officially closing.
Kenya's move asking people to work from home has affected most businesses across the country. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
In a bid to prevent the importation of the deadly coronavirus to Uganda, Ugandan President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni has ordered the closure of schools and suspended public gatherings such as political, cultural, and religious events. President Museveni also suspended public worship effective yesterday, Wednesday. Mugumi Davis Rakaringi reports from Kampala.
In a televised message to the nation, President Yoweri Museveni ordered all schools in the country to close within 2 days. President Museveni said students are at a high risk if the virus reaches the country. He said there are about 15 million students in more than 15,000 schools that could easily contract the disease.
It is wise that we temporarily remove these concentration points by closing all the primary and secondary schools, pre-primary, as well as all the universities and tertiary institutions for 1 month, starting with Friday, the 20th of March, 2020, starting at midday. This is what the government has decided.
Coronavirus can be spread from one person to another between people who are in close contact between the distance of 6 feet, according to Center for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC. It can be transmitted through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes. The disease manifests with symptoms such as fever, cough, or shortness of breath. President Museveni also suspended religious gatherings across the country.
Prayers in churches, in mosques, open-air prayers, and services on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. In the interest of our people's health, this should be suspended for a month with immediate effect.
Equally banned are political rallies and events.
Public rallies, conferences, elections, etc. All these are hereby forbidden for 32 days with immediate effect.
Uganda is preparing to conduct general elections next year, and potential candidates have started electioneering, such as making public consultations. The president also banned Ugandans from traveling to 16 countries with high numbers of people infected by the coronavirus. These include China, Italy, the United States, France, South Korea, and the United Kingdom.
We ban any outbound Ugandan going to or through these countries. Foreigners going to those countries are free to do so, provided they do not intend to come back within the prohibited time.
Front rows or barriers will also be done by only family members. Death due to coronavirus will be strictly managed by government should the virus reach the country. He also ordered strict adherence to prevention measures such as hand washing for people accessing marketplaces and transport systems. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rakaringi in Kampala, Uganda.
Liberian health authorities say they have completed tests on 5 of the primary contacts of the country's first coronavirus patient, with 4 coming out negative. The only positive contact is the driver of the infected official, but the authorities say they will keep all those tested under observation. Meanwhile, ordinary Liberians have been reacting to the coronavirus outbreak in their country and its severe implications.
My name is Bowen Sayer.
How did the news of Liberia getting a case of coronavirus, COVID-19 in Liberia, reach you?
Well, as a Liberian, it was disappointing, but it was anticipated. So I expected that we would be prepared for it because ultimately it would have come to Liberia.
When you say you were disappointed, in which sense were you disappointed?
Well, at this point in time, the Liberian economy, the Liberian social fabric, we are not in the position to have another shock to our system because our system is so fragile. That's why I am disappointed, in fact.
My name is BM Flomopiri.
We just pray that, you know, everything goes on well and the health authorities have the right equipment and they are able to attend to all those that have been confirmed so far.
What are the implications for Liberia with this outbreak, judging from 2014, where the country became the hardest hit of the Ebola outbreak in West Africa?
Most of the time when these outbreaks happen, the greatest impact is on our economic and social well-being. So right now, globally, the world is experiencing huge economic setback, and Liberia is no exception to that. And this is going to create another social or mental tension for us because, as I speak right now, people are already panicking. People are already, you know, losing faith, losing hope. But what I can say is for everybody to be strong. We fought. Resilience brought us through the Ebola outbreak. So I'm sure with our resilience and with our continual practice, washing our hands with clean soap and using the sanitizers and observing all the rules provided by WHO and the Liberian Ministry of Health, I'm sure everything will be okay. But
thank you. My name is Prince Kruma. Looking at our day-to-day activities right now in Liberia, our economic status and other stuff, things are not on par. And with the coronavirus, things are even slowing down even more. When the first case of coronavirus was pronounced by the President of the Republic of Liberia, 2 or 3 hours after that, trying to find gas from rural gas stations, we couldn't find gas.
So it's not just about the health implications. There's going to be economic implication as well.
Of course. Besides our health sector, you know, our health sector is not up to the task. Everyone knows that. I mean, it's a serious issue.
My name is Bertie Fobabio. For me, it is not about readiness, because this is something that people should expect. The fact that it hits half of the continent, the countries across, I think it is about us as Liberians to put on our protective gear and continue to wash our hands. And that's the only way we can be able to fight it. We know coronavirus do not have a cure, but we can prevent it as Liberians.
What effect does this outbreak have on Liberia?
It has economic breakdown. If you can just imagine that you are being surrounded with a 173 bullet entry point of your country, and then the issue where people have to trade to market, you find marketeers being at risk. You also find Liberians being at risk, because the fact that people are trading between these bullet land to get the kind of things that we need in Liberia.
The views of some Liberians in the capital, Monrovia, about the coronavirus. They spoke with reporter Moses Gaziewu. VOA director Amanda Bennett sends this message to our listeners about what and how we are continuing to bring the news here at the Voice of America amid the coronavirus crisis.
I'm Amanda Bennett, and I'm director of Voice of America. I'm recording this from home because here at Voice of America, almost all of us are now working remotely in order to help slow the spread of the coronavirus that I know has been affecting so many of you and your families. I just wanted to let you know that while the health and safety of our employees is really our primary concern, we also are aware that during this troubling time, you are increasingly turning to us for the factual, unbiased information that you need to make decisions about your lives. So we are working as hard as we can to keep up as much of our programming as we can during this time. You may notice some changes in the shows that you've been used to watching, and some of them may have to go off the air. If that happens, we will keep you informed as to where you can find the content that you're used to seeing. So I'd like to wish you all good luck and good health, and thank you very much. We'll hopefully be here for you. Thank you.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Thursday, March 19th. Guinea will this Sunday, March 22nd, make yet another attempt to hold a controversial constitutional referendum. It was originally scheduled to take place March 1st, but President Alpha Conde postponed it. Here is Information Minister Amara Sampare.
Because of certain consideration related to observation raised by the Francophonie Association and also by the ECOWAS organization, the president decided to postpone the election until this Sunday to make sure that the file with the electors has been properly checked and all the problems that has been raised by these two different organizations has been addressed and corrected, which was done last week. And finally, based on the proposal of the CENI, which is the institution that organizes election in Guinea, the president took a decree to organize the referendum and the parliamentary election on Sunday, March 22nd.
But, Amara, the opposition has accused President Alpha Conde of wanting to have these elections so as to stay in power, say, for a third term.
Unfortunately, dear James, the opposition leaders want to read a book that hasn't opened yet. They're talking about third term, and we're talking about a new constitution that's going to change the life of a lot of population in Guinea. The youth, the women with a very progressive disposition for their freedom, for their protection, and also a very increased decentralization in the country to give more power to people in the countryside. So we're not talking about third term. We're talking about social progression, and the president hasn't given his opinion on what he's going to do next.
We were told that a number of West African leaders were supposed to have visited Guinea this past Tuesday. Did they come, and if not, why?
Regarding the first question, it is obvious that regarding the coronavirus crisis that have reached West Africa, with some cases in Senegal, two cases in Guinea now, and some restriction measures were taken by some countries around. And I think the different West African leaders widely decided to postpone their visit in Guinea or to cancel it for the time being. That's the reason why the visit didn't happen. So regarding the second question, I don't know if observers will be attending the election to supervise it. That is a question that can be answered by the CENI, the institution that organized the election.
Amara Sampares, Guinea's information minister, he was speaking with us from the capital, Conakry. The National Front for the Defense of the Constitution, Guinea, says it will do everything necessary to make sure that Sunday's constitutional referendum does not take place. The opposition says President Alpha Conde wants to use the referendum to seek a third term. Faya Melimuno is a member of the National Front for the Defense of the Constitution in Guinea.
The opposition won't participate in those elections. Instead, the opposition will make sure those elections don't happen. That is what we have repeated for the last year. We're going to use everything that is allowed by the Constitution and the law of this land, because according to the Article 21st of the Constitution, if we have the oppression of the people, we have the right to resist that oppression. So the people have been oppressed. We are experiencing a lot of violence, a lot of killing, a lot of kidnappings, just because Alpha wants to impose his will to the people. We're not going to allow that, and we're going to use everything legal to prevent him from doing that.
It seems to me there is a recipe for violence.
We are not preparing for violence, but we know that Alpha Conde and his cronies are implementing violence in Guinea, and as I have called it in the past, we are living in the state of terror here in Guinea. So we are aware of it, but we're not going to be afraid. And we're going to stand up to fight for the future of our country.
Faya Melimuno is a member of the National Front for the Defense of the Constitution in Guinea. You're speaking with us from the capital, Conakry. The fragility of the state and bad governance are key issues of the ongoing Central African Republic, or CAR, crisis. But since the signature of the peace agreement in February 2019, there have been small steps of progress, according to an analysis from the International Crisis Group. Hans de Marie Huengu, Central Africa senior analyst for the ICG, spoke to Ricky Stryak about the progress that has been made and the far distance that remains.
Those improvement signs remain quite small and not yet sustainable to believe that the Central African Republic is necessarily on the good track now.
What tools
tools is the government putting in place to make these progressions, these small advancements?
The government has redeployed nearly 2,000 soldiers, policemen and gendarmes in the provinces since the signature of the agreement. Before that, there was no military man, no policeman or gendarme outside the capital, Bangui. Another factor is that we can see more and more prefects appointed by the government who accept to take their position in the provinces. But the international community also has contributed much. The UN peacekeeping mission MINUSCA has adopted a more robust approach for the protection of civilians, and they have multiplied different agreements and talk with arms groups when incidents occurred in different prefectures and provinces.
What about the lack of governance and the lack of the state structures? How does that come into play when we talk about the natural resources of CAR and the many international players who come into the country and try to either formally or informally, legally or illegally, exploit these resources, and in doing so often exploit the population and often exacerbate the situation, the conflict?
The problems related to CAR crisis should be found in CAR itself. And we kind of blame the international community to not emphasize sufficiently in the talk with the government of CAR on the need to reform the governance of the country and even the need to reform the security sector and things as such. So those are the deep roots of CAR crisis, the lack of inclusion in the political governance and things as such. But yes, you evidently highlighted the fact that many international actors also have their role in the complications that we see in CAR, and not just international actors, but also regional actors. Sudan and Chad have been pinpointed at some point as supporting some of the rebel group in the northeastern part of CAR. Certainly not the government of Sudan or Chad themselves, but definitely group operating in those countries without necessary pressure of the government of those countries to deny them to support groups in Central African Republic. Then there is the geopolitical situation on the third level of the crisis, which involves, of course, France, Russia, and the other international big powers. For long now, France has had is said in the political transition and internal matters in Central African Republic. But we see more and more Russia getting in now, supporting quite strongly the government of Touadera.
That was Hans Demarie Huango, Central Africa's senior analyst for the International Crisis Group. You're speaking to Ricky Shryak from Nairobi. And that's it for this Thursday, March 19th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Shryak, as well as sports editor Samson O'Malley, along with all of our engineers, I'm James Barty in Washington, hoping you have a very good day.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to dumbolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is Peter Clott, host of VOA's Africa Weekend Show, Nightline Africa. Tune in. You will be glad you did.
Nightline Africa is a fast-paced, tightly edited news show designed to keep our listeners engaged from beginning to end. Nightline comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band.